Today we want to think on the subject of the head or the heart. What is man and how is man made up? As you study the doctrine of man in theology, there are many who believe that man is a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit, and others divide man into two basic parts, material and immaterial, and both of these ideas are true. There is the physical, which is the body, and that which, of course, is not physical. The Bible speaks of as soul and spirit. Our body is not the real person. It is only the shell of the house of our real being. The Bible speaks of it as our temple. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, "Your body is the temple or dwelling place of the Holy Spirit." And 2 Corinthians 5:1 says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Our body is made up of many parts, those which are outward and those which are internal, and each has an important function. One part of the body is the heart, and the Bible speaks of it a few times. It is an important organ in our body and pumps the blood into every part of our body. If our heart stops or something goes wrong with the heart, we die. And one of the leading causes of death today is heart disease. However, the word heart is used extensively in the Bible around 938 times, but except for just a few rare cases, it is not referring to this physical organ that pumps our blood. The heart, as it's used mainly in the Bible, refers to our innermost being or our nature, our center of thought and conception, the center of our feelings and affections, the will, the center of our moral life, the place of all that is good and evil in thought, words, and deeds, the seat of conscience, the dwelling place of Christ in us, the Holy Spirit of God's peace. It is the very center of the entire person. The Bible also says a lot about our mind, our thoughts, what we put into our mind. The mind and the heart, as it is used in the Bible, is different, and yet there is a definite relationship between the two. Let's look at this in two areas this morning. First of all, concerning our salvation. Our salvation. Jesus said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Paul said to the Philippian jailer when asked, "What must I do to be saved?" He said this in Acts 16:31. And he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Believe. So is salvation a matter of the mind, of understanding, and giving a mental assent to the truths that involve salvation, like, yes, I believe that I'm a sinner, that I will go to hell because of my sin, that God loves me, and Jesus died for my sin, and was buried, and rose again. He did this to be my Savior. Is knowing this in my mind and giving mental assent to all this mean I am now a Christian, a child of God? And multitudes today say they believe in him and are therefore Christians. A mental understanding of these truths is important, but the word believe in Scripture goes deeper than just the mind believing those things that we just said. In Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 11, we read, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or that Jesus is Lord, and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed." And then verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So notice in this portion of Scripture, it says, believe in thy heart, in thine heart, and also with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. The word believe means to place your trust in, or to trust or accept by faith, or to receive for oneself. We must know and understand with the mind, but then as an act of the will, by making a personal decision, we must say either outwardly or inwardly, "Lord, I believe I am a sinner, that Christ died for my sin and rose again to be my Savior, and I personally accept Jesus into my heart and life to be my Savior." And the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so the heart and the mind involve salvation. But secondly, it involves our walk, our life that we live for the Lord. This, our walk, involves our character and our conduct, the things we do, the things we say, the choices that we make. Remember what Scripture says about the heart back in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. It says this, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Our inner being is sinful, desperately wicked. We are born in that condition. That's why we need a Savior. But even when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and become a new creature in Christ Jesus, that old sinful nature is still in us. If we conduct ourselves, talk, and make decisions according to the urgings and desires of our old sinful nature, heart, it will be contrary to that which will please God. As well as being a bad testimony to those around us that we need the help and influence for Christ. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, verse 11. Matthew chapter 15, verse 11. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, that defileth the man. And then verses 18 and 19 say this, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, and verses 18, and I just read that, and then also Luke chapter 6, verse 45, says this, Luke 6, 45. A good man out of the treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. How can we who have received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior become Christ-like in our character and in our actions and our words and our decisions and our likes and our desires? We must know what the scripture says, and that involves the mind. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And back in Psalms chapter 119, Psalms 119, verse 105, we read this, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, there are many other scriptures that talk about the heart and the mind, but these are just a couple. But we must read the scriptures, listen to the scriptures taught and preached, and we must know what God's word says. But that isn't enough. There are many believers who know what the scriptures says, but they don't live it. And so we must not only know what it says, but we must put it into our heart. In Psalm 119, verse 11, we read this, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. We need to memorize scripture. Put it in our heart. And then Psalm 101, verses 2 and 3. Or Psalm 1, verses 2 and 3. we read this, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Now, 2 Timothy 2:15 says we need to study God's word. And Psalm 119:111 says we must accept them and apply them to our life and rejoice in them. And John 14:21 says we need to obey them, do what it says. In Psalm 119, verse 14, it says this, "I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much and in all riches." We must value the Word of God as more important than any possession that we have or would kind of like. Psalm 119, verse 18 says, "Open thou my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." We must pray for understanding, and we must desire them more than anything else. In Psalm 119, verse 40, we read, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word." So we must desire the word of God. We must meditate upon it, study it, apply it to our life, obey what it says, value it as very important, pray for understanding, and have a deep desire for it more than anything else in the word, in the world. And then we need to feed our mind only on good things. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, we read this, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, and whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." And so, when we think of what we feed into our mind, only good things, this involves what we watch on TV, or what we read for books and so forth, or music we listen to, or places that we attend, or company that we keep. If we feed the world and the things of the world into our mind, anything that is contrary to what Scripture teaches, that is what we will become. And Proverbs chapter 23, 7 says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." And so what we put into our heart will determine our character and our conduct. Someone has written this, and I want to read what they said. They titled it, "How Do We Express Christianity in the Home by Love and Unselfishness, or in Business by Honesty and Diligence, or How Do We Express It in Society by Purity, Courtesy, and Humility, and How Do We Express It Toward the Unfortunate by Sympathy, and mercy. And how do we express it toward the weak? By being helpful and patient. How do we express it toward those that are wicked? By overcoming evil without compromise. How do we express it toward the strong? By trust and cooperation with that which is good. How do we express it toward non-Christians? By witnessing of Christ and the gospel. And how do we express it toward the penitent? By forgiveness and restoration. How do we express it toward the fortunate? By rejoicing with them without envy. And how do we express it toward God? By reverence, love, and obedience. We will be Christ-like and exhibit these qualities if our heart is fed with that which is good, mainly the Word of God, but anything else that is good too are the things that we should put into our heart. Remember Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What we read and listen to and put into our heart is what we will become. And if we want to be Christ-like in our life and live a life that pleases the Lord, then we must put those things into our life that Scripture talks about, and those things that will please God, those things that are honorable to Him. And may this be true in each of our lives. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for this time we've had in your Word. And Lord, I pray that the desire of each of us might be to always live according to your Word, that we might put your Word into our mind and hearts, and might put other things that are pleasing to you into our heart and mind. And we ask this, Father, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.